Well, it's good to, well, I got to get used to this. So this seems strange. I'm up here, so I'm so high. But that's okay. I'll get used to it. So I might go down there at some point, but that's fine. So I want to tell you a little story. Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, or Jude remind us, Man's Day, for if you're, even if you're not a father, and you're a father in spirit to other people. So happy Father's Day. And I want to tell you a little story about my father. So I probably was about 8 years old in my home state of Montana. And in the summer, it might have even been this day. It might have even been June 20th, for all I know. But I couldn't tell you for sure. But our tradition was to go camping in the summer on weekends. My father was a maintenance guy at the local lumber mill, and we would often go camping in the summer. And he would haul behind our camper his 12-foot aluminum boat, and we would go out fishing. So on a particular day, my father said, let's go fishing. So we go out on the lake, and we get to the other side. Now, Thompson Lake isn't very big. It's only about half a mile across, and maybe about 2 miles in length. It's not very big. So we probably went to the other side. There was we usually fished for perch or bass, so we're often close into shore. So we're fishing, I'm casting. All of a sudden, my father says, reel in, we need to pack everything away, we need to get back to the other side. I said, why? We haven't been here very long. And he said, look. And he looked up over the mountain. There was a very dark cloud coming upon us. And so I said, okay. So my father fires up the little Evinrude motor at the back of the boat, and off we go across. And before we even get halfway across the lake, the waves start really getting choppy. Now, to me, it was really scary because a lot of spray was coming over the bow of this little 12-foot aluminum boat. It probably wasn't bad at all, but to my about 8-year-old mind, this is kind of like, ooh, this doesn't look good. But fortunately, my father, who could read the wind and the waves and look at the sky and say, this is not good for us to be out on the lake in a small boat in this storm. How are we doing? I'll move if I have to. So how are we going to do it? But we get back. We get back in safety. And so that's the story of my fishing story in Montana all those years ago. But on another day, on another lake, in another boat, another group of fishermen were experiencing a similar kind of trial. Now, on that day, I don't know whether it was the 20th of June or not. The scripture doesn't tell me. But it had been a long day. Just as this is the summer solstice and is the longest day of the year, that had been a long day for Jesus. He had been up early in the morning by the lake and had been teaching all day long about sowers and seeds and mustard seeds and the growth of the kingdom. He'd been doing that all day, and then by the end of the day, he says, let us cross to the other side. And so they get in the boat, and away they go on this lake. We often call it the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes it's called the Sea of Gennesaret, but it's not really a sea. It's really a large lake. A large lake, about 13 miles long and about 7 miles wide at the widest point. It is about 682 feet below sea level, so it actually sits in a bowl. On the western side, there are mountains, and on the eastern side, there are mountains, especially on the northeast, what we now call the Golan Heights are up there. And on the western side, there are mountains with two valleys. And oftentimes, winds come off the Mediterranean and blow through those valleys. And then cold air often comes down off the Golan Heights. And so what you get down in this bowl, where what we call the Sea of Galilee is a convection effect. And it can stir up the water. The winds are unpredictable, and they can come suddenly. Sudden storms are definitely, even to this day, sailing hazards on the Sea of Galilee. And waves as high as 6 to 7 feet have been recorded there. Now, their boats were bigger than my father's aluminum boat, right? About 26 feet in length. We've actually found a boat dating from the time of Jesus. There was room for 4 oarsmen, room for a sail, and it could probably hold about a dozen people, which makes sense. We've got 12 disciples plus Jesus, so we're all in the boat together. It accords with what we know from the Gospels. Now, Israel was not a seafaring nation. They didn't like the sea. They were shepherds. They were into agriculture. They grew vines. The old scripture said, my father was a wandering Aramean, a keeper of sheep. And so they didn't like the sea. The Phoenicians up to the north and to the west, they were the seafaring people. But the Israelites didn't like it. But these were fishermen of Galilee. They knew what it was like to be out on the water. They understood. They could read the wind and the waves. And they knew that there was always potential danger. For the Israelites, the sea was associated with chaos, with monsters, with death and destruction. Even as in that psalm we read about, we reeled like drunken men. And remember the story of Jonah, where terrible storms came and they finally pitched Jonah overboard and was eaten by a large fish. So we understand storms. It's even in our popular culture and imagination, right? We have movies and stories about the perfect storm, storms coming together and swamping even great ships. Or great songs like Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Danger can come unexpectedly. And it could especially come unexpectedly to these people. Well, let me just give you a little aside on nautical history, if I might, today. A little aside on nautical history on this date, June 20th. I'm going to do my little News of the World fanfare there. So, News of the World, June 20th, 1934. June 20th, 1934, the commander-in-chief of the Asiatic Fleet sends a cable to the chief of naval operations and warns the chief of naval operations that if the nation of Japan should attack the United States, they will do it without a declaration of war and by surprise. This is 1934, on this day, June 20th, which says to me that storms, trials, terror, difficulties can come without warning. 9/11 happened without warning. There were things out in the ether, much as the chief of naval operations had warning that Japan could attack by surprise. But things can creep up on us. Things can happen personally in our lives. Disasters, illness, family strife. We as a church have been through our own storms. We have gone through our own storm of COVID for the last year and a bit, right? We've been through the storm. But we are able to overcome. Because also on June 20th, 10 years later, 1944, the Battle of the Philippine Seas, the United States Navy was able to defeat the carrier fleet of Japan, which essentially ended the carrier threat in the Pacific. How did they do it? By marshaling their forces, having a good plan, and staying together to win the victory. We too can win any victory because the master of the sea is with us. We are able to succeed. And every ship these days is equipped with lots of modern devices to get them through the possibility of a storm. They have life rafts. They have life jackets. They have GPS. They have radar. They have radio. But the safest place to be in a storm is in the ship. And it's no less true for us, St. Francis. The safest place to be is in the ship. Take a look at our building here a little bit, just for a moment. You see how it's constructed with these arches, these ribs that go up at different parts? Where you are sitting right now, the place where you are sitting, is called the nave. The nave, N-A-V-E, the nave. And it comes from Greek and Latin words that basically mean ship. And it's where we get our word navy. Navy comes from this word, which means ship. So you're sitting inside a big inverted ship, if you will, and many churches, early churches, were constructed on ships. Annette and I had a chance many years ago to go to Ireland, and many of the churches there were built like in an inverted ship shape. Boy, say that three times fast. That's difficult. So in an inverted ship shape, right? So you are in the ship. If you think of it, we're all sailing together. We're in the ship together. We're all part of the crew, right? Your church leaders, your clergy, your vestry, your wardens, they're sort of the senior officers, but not to lord it over you, just to make sure that we're headed in the right direction, that we're going together. But all of us need to be part of the crew. We're all part of the crew going together. And oh, by the way, we're not sailing aimlessly. We're not just going in circles. Jesus told them, let us go to the other side. Now, I know that sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. Why did the chicken cross the road? Or, you know, why did Jesus cross the lake? But he actually had a mission. He'd been teaching them about the kingdom of God, but then he goes to the other side of the lake and he heals people that are possessed by demons. And that word goes out through what's called the Decapolis, the 10 cities in that region. And he's going to continue to spread the word. So we as a ship are also on a mission. And over the days and weeks and months to come, we're going to continue to set the direction so that we can be on a mission to share the good news of the kingdom of God to this place, in this time, and in the way that St. Francis does it. But I can just about guarantee you that no matter what happens, we will face some storms. You personally are going to face some storms. We've been through the COVID storm, and now we're coming out of it, and we're saying, oh, it's all calm now. Smooth sailing from here on out. But I can guarantee you, as soon as you say that, the powers of the world, the powers of the enemy, will stir up the wind and the waves and try to swamp us, try to pull us down. So what do? We remember who is in the boat. Who's in the boat with us? In their boat, it was Jesus. He's in the back. There's a little decking at the back, and that's where they stored things. It says he was sleeping on a cushion. More likely, he was sleeping on a sandbag. That's probably what he really had his head on. But he's sleeping in the back, and the disciples come back to him and say, Jesus, don't you care? Well, of course Jesus cares. Jesus always cares. But Jesus has had a long day, and he's tired out. Just as oftentimes we want children come to their father and say, Dad, come play with me. But Dad's just tuckered out. But sometimes Dad will get up and go play with the kids and go do what needs to be done. And moms too. Jesus gets up and he says to the wind and to the waves, he rebukes the waves, the wind, and he says, peace be still to the waves. And those are the same words that he used when he drove out the demons earlier in Mark. So it doesn't matter whether it's personal demons or whether it's the powers of the elements. Jesus is in control. And the disciples are surprised. They say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And Jesus rebukes them and says, do you still have no faith? Faith. That's what we're about to celebrate for little California down here in a few minutes. We're going to celebrate a baptism. But it's a chance for us to renew our faith, that we believe in Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when we say believe, it really means trust, that we trust in God, that we trust in Jesus Christ, that he will save us. Jesus will guide us through every storm. And at this point, I probably can think of about a half dozen gospel quartet songs that I've known down through the years. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. And I probably have about a half dozen more I could come up with on the spot. I've anchored in Jesus. When we face storms, whether it's in your personal life, and you will face them, when we face storms as a church, remember who's in the boat. That Jesus is with us, and he has power to save. Amen.